Greetings to you all. Glad to be with you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time today to be here as brothers and sisters in Christ, to think on your words, to encourage each other. Just pray that your spirit of wisdom be with us, give us understanding. Just pray for the brother David and Brian, that you be with them in this day as well. Bless their time with people in the Dominican Republic. Just guide us today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I chose to read from Luke chapter 16 today. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16 and verse 1. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Okay. We understand what was happening here was the steward had done a bad job. He was taking care of this man's possessions, and he had done a bad job, and so he was going to be fired. And he realized that he was going to be out of a job, and he didn't want to beg. He didn't want to go out and work hard and dig in the fields. And so he said, I am resolved that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called the different people that owed money to his master and said, this is your bill. You owe this much to my master. You owe 100 measures of oil, but you can take your bill of 100 measures of oil and you can write you can pay for 50, and I will write paid to your account. And then he did the same with all his debtors. He called them and said, you all actually owe this much money, but if you just go ahead and pay it right now, you can settle up for less than you actually owe, and it'll be taken care of. And the reason was so that all these different people would be grateful to him for having done that. And then he'll be fired, and he can come and go to each of these different people's houses, and they'll receive him. They'll be glad to receive him because of the favor that he did to them. And then it actually says that the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Even though he had lost money, and he had been cheated, he still commended him because he was crafty. He was making the most of what he had. And then Jesus comments about that in verse 8. He says, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Okay, Jesus is making it clear that there's the children of this world. The steward was a child of this world. And he was wise as a child of this world. And then, of course, there's the children of light. And Jesus said that the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. The children of light are those of us who have been baptized, who have rejected this world, who have said that we will live for Jesus. And we have declared that to God and to the world. We've said that we're going to live for Him. Let's keep on reading what Jesus says about this in verse 9. He says, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is in other man's, how shall you give that which is your own? True riches, unrighteous mammon, or true riches? Are we faithful, if we're not faithful with that which is in other man's, how are we going to be faithful with what is our own? What is Jesus talking about here? Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when these fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. The mammon, I think it could be talking about money. Jesus says, sell what you have, give to the poor, provide for yourselves bags that wax not old, a treasure reserved in heaven. I think in general, the mammon, the unrighteous mammon, is that which is going to be taken away from us, that which we have for a time, but soon it will be taken away from us. Just like the rich man, or just like the steward here that was taking care of the rich man's things, he was able to see that in just a short time, this is all going to be taken away from me. And it was urgent that he act quickly while he still had a little time left with that position, because once this position of being a steward is taken away from him, then he won't have anything. He'll just be out on the streets. He won't have anything left. And so what are the children of light? What is the things that God has committed to us if we are indeed children of light? I think it could be anything that God has given us in this life, whether it's money or whether it's just the strength and the vigor and the beauty of youth, the desire of youth. It's the life that we have in this world. And we have a life in this world that is our own life. It's a life that, really, it's not our own life. God has given us our lives, but we grow up and make decisions and make choices and are able to do exactly what we want to do with our own lives. And no one is going to tell us that we can't do it. We have the complete power to do that. And no one is going to tell us that we can't. We have the complete liberty either to use it for ourselves, to use our lives for ourselves, or to give up our lives for God. Just thinking about what are these true riches that are not going to be taken away from us. I'd like to read several verses that speak about that. One verse is in Luke chapter 10. in verse, let's read from verse 38 to verse 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So, in all the cares of life, and Martha was just taken up with those things, but Mary was seeing, here's Jesus, and he's teaching, and there's wisdom in what he's saying. And she came and she sat down, and she heard the things that he was saying. And it says that that is not going to be taken away from her, that decision that she made to do that. And I think that's true for us. If we hear the voice of Jesus, if we can hear his wisdom, if we can just not let the things of this world, the cares of this world, overtake us, then that will not be taken away from us. Even in eternity, we will rejoice that we were given the power to hear Jesus, the chance to hear Jesus and his wisdom, and that we chose that. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham... Okay, just to verse 16. It says that if they had been mindful of the country that they came out of, they could have found an opportunity to return. But they were seeking a heavenly country. So God is not ashamed to be called their God. Like the steward that we read about, if he had been thinking about his master's household and thinking, okay, I work for this man, and if he had just been proud about his master and thinking, all these people over here, they owe money. And they owe a lot of money. They need to pay everything they owe because I'm proud of my master and I want to do the best for him. I just want him to have everything that's owed to him. But he wasn't thinking that. He was thinking about what's going to happen after he's out of his job. And he was acting wisely for himself. The people that we're reading about here in Hebrews, if they had been mindful of this life, if they had been mindful of getting the most out of this life, then they would have sought to return. But because they were viewing the life after this life, they fixed their eyes on that. They weren't just interested in getting the most they could out of this life right here and right now. And it says, because of that, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared for them a city. There's a verse in First Timothy chapter 6. In First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 21. 1 Timothy 6, verse 19. Let's begin in verse 17. From verse 17 to 19, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. A good foundation against the time to come. This is the true riches that will not be taken away from them. Because they were not thinking about themselves. While other people were securing their assets and making sure that everything is in order, they were looking out for other people. They were helping people who had needs. They were rich in good works, ready to distribute. They were helping out wherever they could. There's another verse that I'd like to read in Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5. In let's begin in reading in verse 1. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Again, this crown of glory that will not fade away is to be given to those who used, here, speaking to the elders, people that used their position of authority, of leadership, to serve others, not as being lords. Thought of the verse where Jesus says that about the Gentiles, that they will, that will be great, that they exercise lordship. But he said, it shall not be so among you. Whoever wants to be the greatest, let him be as him that serves. And so, in the world, among the Gentiles, people that have authority, people that have leadership, they use that for themselves, to serve themselves and to be served and to be great. But among us, he that is greatest is to be as him that serves. In verse 4 it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Okay, I'd like to read from Revelation chapter 7. In verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These are the true riches that Jesus was talking about, was people that had come out of great tribulation and they were clothed in white robes. And God was with them. And they had the knowledge that they were approved by God. And God was not ashamed to be their God. God was with them. They could look back to their lives on this earth. They could see all the things that they had come through, all the tests that they had faced, and know that they were faithful and that they had overcome. And know that the Lord approved their lives. And those are the true riches that will not be taken away from us. I guess any of the other brothers have any thoughts about anything that I've shared here?
When you knew they were going to wait.
Right. Some religions, or maybe even Christianity, you could get the idea that we just deny ourselves a little bit right now, and then in heaven we can have all that we denied ourselves plus a whole lot more, like the Muslims, 100 virgins or whatever, you know. But that's not the picture that we see of the things that we were reading, the riches that will remain is being approved by God, I think, and He not being ashamed of us, we being He being our Father and we being His children and being recognized as that. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's go ahead.
Uh-huh.
That was this morning, early this morning.
Yeah. Bishop was even 1 hour behind the
Dominican Republic. Oh, yeah.
The
Manic
time.
Right. A legal divorce. Praise the Lord. I talked with Joel yesterday. He sends greetings to everyone. He said that his contract is ending in March, and he thought like he would probably be seeing us not too long after that. He said they'd like to come and spend some time. Yes, she did. All right, well, let's stand. Brother Joe, you want to lead us in prayer?